You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network. You can find us.
Thank you for staying tuned to CKMS Community Connections, where we are in the studio live today. And we have a very special guest with us today. We have Sandy. Welcome to Hello. The studio.
Hello. Thank you for having me in.
Yeah, thank you for coming by. It is quite a beautiful day outside, so taking some time out of what you're doing and what you're busy with. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem at all. It's for a very important cause.
Absolutely. So a little bit just... Amnesty International is very important. Like, there's a lot of issues that they speak about. And I get emails multiple times a week about what's going on. Things like, especially the rights, and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about what Amnesty International is. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, like I said, my name is Sandy, and I've been it's called Group 9 for the Amnesty chapter in this area. And I've been involved with them for a few years now. We set up booths at events to have petitions for people to sign. We do what is happening tomorrow. It's called the Rights for Right campaign. And this is a global program, so people around the world are all participating at this at the same time. And so what it is Amnesty International selects 10 cases from all around the world, and there are letters that can be pre-made that you can sign and send, also cards of encouragement that you can send if you like, just to let people know behind bars that there are other people around the world thinking of them. And we all focus our attention on this, so in one go, like one government official might get millions of letters. Because there is over 7 million people volunteering for Amnesty
right. In
over 150 countries around the world. Wow. So this is like the big event for us. And
yeah.
I have all 10 cases here that we can talk about at point. And
I'm curious. Very curious to know.
Because they're all heartbreaking stories. Like, that's part of the problem, is trying to narrow it down to which cases do we actually select.
Right.
I have no say in that because we're just a chapter branch. We don't really have involvement with the actual organization. Like, we don't go off and do investigations on our own or anything of that sort. So it must be a very challenging thing to just even... not be able to pronounce their names. I'm very poor at reading everyone's
That's
names,
okay.
actually. But the first case is from Belarus, and it's for a 17-year-old teenage boy. And he was just at a bus stop with his girlfriend, and he got arrested by the police. And it turns out a courier company he was working for, he didn't know what he was moving around. And turns out the police are saying it's drugs.
Yeah.
And so now he can spend like the next 10 years in prison, even though he hasn't really had a proper trial. The government there wants the prisons to be a horrible situation as a discouragement. This poor boy has asthma. And for when he was in the youth prison, he wasn't even allowed to keep his inhaler with him.
Wow.
As he was going around. And now he's in the adult prison. So he's at least able to do a little bit of his studies, have his inhaler with him. But this has torn his life apart.
Yeah.
Because he was planning on finishing school and going on and having a career, and then in a heartbeat, it's all taken away.
Wow.
And it's just so hard to imagine, like, just...
How old, again?
He was 17 when this happened.
Right, okay. And now he's...
It's a couple years.
Oh, so yeah.
He's already been there a couple years.
Wow.
And it's just, it's heartbreaking because can you imagine anyone in the last year of high school here, you know, imagining, okay, I'm going to go off to this college, I'm... maybe going to be a nurse or a paramedic or anything of that sort. And then just out of the blue, you get hauled off by the police. You get thrown into a horrible prison. Your medical needs get neglected.
Right.
Your health deteriorates. And sometimes it takes a while for the families to even find out what happened to their loved ones.
I wonder how many more people are in that situation.
Countless.
Yeah.
We usually use these cases to focus on a general it's a bigger problem. And this is just one case that represents many.
Right.
Because it does. It happens to thousands and thousands of people all around the world in different countries for different reasons. And it's sad to say, but at least they didn't kill him. Because in some countries, they're just disappeared.
Yeah, exactly.
In some countries, they are executed. Some of these cases do kind of focus on those types of threats as well. Like this one here, it's from China. And they were a couple, I believe this is... Sorry, there's a lot of information here, and I don't have all the facts memorized, but I did read over these ahead of time.
I would trust that.
Yeah, this is a couple from China that were living in Egypt. But then China was kind of doing really horrible things with the Uyghur population. That's the Muslim population in China. And they actually sent a list to Egypt of people for them to send back.
Wow.
So this woman, she was pregnant with their child when he was just taken. And she doesn't know where he is. So she's trying to just figure that out, but they're pretty sure he's in one of these reprogramming propaganda camps that China set up to try to make them not who they are anymore. Mm-hmm. And she just wants her husband back safely. She wants to know what happened. She wants him to see their daughter. And it's a lot of mystery, and people just don't know what's happening. And when you hear about these concentration camps that they have, it's horrendous. But since China is in a position that it is, it has a lot of global power. And so it's very hard for weaker countries to say anything against it because of the investments, the money that China has. Mm-hmm. And so for a country to want to speak up against it, you're risking maybe like the finances of your entire country just to say, we don't agree with you on this.
Yeah.
And so it's a really scary situation. And the countries with power, the countries that can afford to do it, they need to start speaking up more.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, as a global community, we swore this type of thing would never happen again.
And it is.
And it's happening a lot more frequently than people realize.
Because
it never gets out in the news. Because this is just one thing. There was Myanmar. That was another situation where genocide was being... you know, portrayed, taken out, and so many other situations that it's still happening in this day and age. Like even in Iran right now, they shut down the internet so that people can't find out about the protests that's happening there right now because...
And they'll shut down like cell phone towers and all that stuff.
And people are getting executed in the streets for just speaking up against the government. Like you can't... Here in Canada, we're so sheltered. We can't conceive of that. Like we have a protest where... you know, maybe a couple hundred people go around with funny signs, you know, little quippy, cute signs. We go, we say our piece, and we leave, and no one is worse for wear. But, you know, in other countries, to really speak up and defend your rights, you're putting your life on the line.
Oh, yeah.
And it's scary to think about that, and they need the support of people like us to just say, this is not okay.
And there's lots of stuff out there for, because I've seen a lot about the protests you speak about and the cell phone towers, internet getting shut off. And you read about it on Twitter or whatever, but you don't see much of it. Like it's like you have to go to a specific page or something like that to see it. You can't just hear it on CTV or CNN. They don't talk about that stuff.
Well, I also tutor a woman. She's a Syrian refugee. And so they get video sent from their families.
Really?
About what's happening. And we just don't see that here. We don't see it in our media. We don't see it in our news. But they actually have friends and family back in these areas that are still being affected, and they send the video. And it's horrific sometimes what you see is happening.
Right. Yeah, that's terrible.
And to try to imagine like what it would be like if suddenly, you know, the government just decided to shut down our internet here. Like people freak out if Facebook is down for an hour.
Or even then, like you read sometimes, political parties will be, they'll hide stuff on the internet from people.
Oh, the espionage that the government does?
Yeah. Well, that's another conversation for another time for sure, but.
Yeah, once you get into the rabbit hole of human rights, it's scary what's going on, but then it's also rewarding knowing that you're part of a movement trying to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
So we have another case here in Egypt, And it's a 26-year-old human rights researcher, and he reported on people's access to safe and affordable housing in Egypt. And he was walking home, and again, he was just taken.
Wow.
They just arrested him. His mother found out, and she went straight to the police station. But the police told her that he was not there and denied that he was detained at all. And ever since then, they've been trying to find him and get answers to what's happened to him.
Wow.
But again, it's the human rights defenders in other countries are particularly vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like here he is trying to do good in the world, trying to raise awareness, and then suddenly he's gone. And just the fear it strikes in other people who might be thinking of doing this. Because in an area like this, if you had a family member that was going to post about human rights or something, you'd be so afraid of what would happen to them that you would beg them not to, because you wouldn't want to see them get disappeared too.
Yeah.
We have another one here from Greece. So a woman, 24, and a man, 25, they were volunteers as rescue workers. And their job was to spot boats in distress at sea and help refugees who were fleeing from abuses in their home countries. And, of course, there's been a crackdown on people who actually help people at sea not drown.
Really?
Yeah, because there's a huge migrant crisis happening right now
right. In
Greece in those lining areas because it's just across the Mediterranean.
Right, okay, great.
And so there's, you know, angels out there who are going out to sea to make sure that people aren't drowning on the way.
Yeah.
But if you get caught helping other people, you can get arrested.
Yeah, or your family, whatever else, so they'll go after you. Wow.
Yeah, so the woman was put in prison charged with spying and smuggling and belonging to a criminal organization just because she was trying to help people.
Wow. You can't, that's not even something that, like I said, I've never heard about that. You don't hear about that stuff much in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, well.
As you said, we're so sheltered that.
And it's understandable too, because for many people here, we're overwhelmed with our own problems, our own issues.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make us bad people for not knowing what's happening when we're trying to survive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, like, personally, I live in poverty, and when that happens, it's very difficult to focus outside of your own bubble because
Absolutely.
You're looking to your own needs tomorrow and what you need to get by. And to start thinking about, you know, this other thing that's happening in another country where, what can you do? You know, you feel like you can't help them, you can barely help yourself. But luckily there is this event, the Right for Rights, where you can do something. You can go and you can sign these letters, you can sign petitions, and the volume, it makes a difference. Cases get heard. People do get released from prison based on what we do. And
okay.
So it's just a little thing that you can do that actually makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So here in Iran, we have a woman who decided to remove her headscarf. And that did not turn out well for her. She was arrested. They held her alone in cells for days while interrogators questioned her. They told her to confess that foreign elements were behind her activism and to repent her actions. And she could spend the next 10 years in prison for what she did.
Wow. And again, that's something that they can't even really prove. This is stuff that they just made up.
No, she actually took a headscarf off.
Oh.
That's provable. She was on a train, a woman's only train.
Okay.
And she took her headscarf off to protest what other people demand them to wear.
Okay, right. So, okay, wow.
And then she was arrested for her activism.
So there's like a movement going on in these places.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in some of the Middle Eastern countries in particular, when women do step up, like in, I think it was Saudi Arabia, the woman who did the most activism to allow women to be able to drive, the women that led that movement were arrested, and some of them still haven't been released.
Right. Okay.
Even though they were successful in their movement, women were eventually able to start being able to drive. But the government was kind of saying, well, you might have gotten away with this one. You might have gotten enough attention to it, but we're going to show the next leaders of the next, you know, activist group what will happen to them should they try.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's all about taking out the people who are loud. Like, sometimes your posts are monitored. Some cases, I don't think there's any in this particular cases this time, but there's been cases where they just make political posts and they don't even post it publicly. It's to friends.
Right.
But it gets found out, and they're talking against their government, and so they get arrested. So there's...
Probably because it's being surveilled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's governments out there that have such a needle on it that they want to snuff it out before anyone even thinks of taking it to the next level of publicly criticizing or questioning what their government is doing.
Right.
And again, in Canada, we take it for granted because the reality is we do have it good here.
Yeah.
Like, even though we do struggle, we have our own issues, we are in our bubble, but we do have it good here. So we don't question when our government does things that, you know, we shouldn't be okay with.
Right. Yeah.
Such as, you know, spying on our phone calls and emails and things of that sort,
mm-hmm.
or loosening those restrictions, or making it easier to charge people with terrorism and who they can surveil and things of that sort.
Which we're seeing down south, like, more than ever now.
Well, it happens here too. We just don't know about it.
Right, yeah.
So then the next case we have is for a man in, a 14-year-old boy actually, in Mexico. And he was just walking down the street, and he's from a poor part of town. Mm-hmm. But he accidentally walked into the end of a street brawl, and the police targeted him.
Yeah.
And they slammed him up against the police car. They abused him, assaulted him, threw him away in jail. And basically, the family could get him out if they could afford to, which they can't.
Right.
He had to drop out of school because of what happened, because of the injuries he sustained during this. And luckily, he was able to get out of that, his family, because part of his problem when he was trying to communicate with the police officers is he had hearing issues and he didn't have any hearing aids.
Right.
So he wasn't able to necessarily hear what the police were saying to him all the time either. So that just compounded the situation he was in. But he does have a hearing aid now, and he's finally starting high school.
Okay.
But it's basically just to make sure that this doesn't happen again.
Yeah, exactly.
And the police who targeted him were never charged.
Wow.
So it's about, you know.
That's a little corrupt, too.
Yeah. The next case we have here is in Nigeria. And it's about a man when he was 23. Men with guns and bulldozers descended without warning on his community and started killing people, massacring people at the orders of the government because they wanted the land for something else. They were being forced to evict. Only when they're forced to evict, it can be done in brutal, brutal ways.
Right, yeah.
So it says here that by the end of this event, 30,000 people were homeless. They were forced to live in canoes under bridges or with friends and family. The man in this lost his home, but he still has hope. He's joined a settlement federation, a mass movement of people like him who won't rest until they secure their right to a home.
Okay.
Because everyone got they tore down their homes. Like,
yeah.
There was nothing to go back to. And for some people, why would they want to when they saw their loved ones killed there?
Exactly.
It would be hard to go back. Then we have another case from the Philippines. And the girl in this was 16 when her life was turned upside down when a really bad typhoon hit the area and devastated a lot of the place. A lot of the country was devastated. I think it was Hurricane Haiyan, or Typhoon Haiyan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, the storms, the hurricanes, typhoons and hurricanes are the same thing, different location.
Right, just different ocean.
Yeah. They're getting worse, and it's because of climate change. So she graduated with a university degree in social work, and she's an activist now, spends time campaigning for community rights at both local and international levels. because she's just trying to say, because of our geographic location, they're very vulnerable to so many type of climate disasters, and the government's not doing anything to make the most vulnerable people safer. Because thousands of people lost their homes during this typhoon, and they need food, they need water after this, they need their homes rebuilt, but there's limited material and financial assistance, and it usually gets dried up very quickly. So a lot of them are living in tents for 20 months until they found new homes. So she remains dedicated to ensuring governments around the world confront climate change and tackle its effect on her community and others like them.
That's huge. Yeah.
Because
that's happening a lot more now.
Yeah. It's the poor communities, the poor countries that suffer the worst when it comes to climate change, because it's the poor people that are forced onto the land that's the most dangerous to live on, like near the coast when, you know, a monsoon comes or something of that sort and it gets flooded out. It's the poorest people that suffer, because the rich people, they have their homes farther away. They have homes that are built stronger. And this is becoming more of a problem, even in Canadian communities. The poor communities tend to suffer when environmental disasters happen. They suffer more. The next one is from South Sudan. And it's a boy, he was 15, and he got into an argument with his neighbor, and when the neighbor got a gun, so did this boy, and he fired a warning shot, and unfortunately, this warning shot ricocheted and actually struck his cousin.
Wow.
And his cousin ended up dying, and so he's devastated by that, but because of this, they've just charged him with murder, and at the age of 15, they're basically told him, we're going to execute you by hanging. At 15-year-old, for an accident that he's already torn up over. He didn't have a lawyer to help him when he was arrested. And the judge told him he had 15 days to write an appeal against his death sentence. But they had no advocates. He could only get a lawyer when he moved to a different prison. And so I can't even imagine, like, some high school kid suddenly trying to have to write a letter without a lot of help saying why they shouldn't be executed by their government.
That's crazy. These sort of things, these are just these, how many letters was that?
So this is 9, the 10th one I've saved for last.
Right.
It's a special case for us.
Okay. How many other stuff like this is going on that you guys could deal with? Does it go on beyond this when you guys are done?
Yeah, there's still more petitions to sign. If you can go on to amnesty.ca, find out there's more petitions. There's an app you can get. For these ones in particular, you want to go to writeathon.ca, and it has the cases specific to this event with the addresses that you can send the letters to if you want to make your own letter.
Okay.
Or you can come down to Seven Shores tomorrow at 11:30 to 4:30 and sign the letters that we've already made up and enjoy wonderful coffee
right
and
off
treats.
Regina.
Yeah, it's right on Regina Street
okay.
in Waterloo. And so we'll have it all set up there so that all you have to do is come in and sign letters and we'll send them off. You can also make cards of support to people who are in prison and we'll send those off as well.
Right, wow. Neat. Okay.
And that's from 11:30 to 4:30 at Seven Shores in Waterloo tomorrow. That's December 7th.
And
yeah. Time flies by sometimes. And the last case that I have here, to me, it's not surprising because I've been involved with this group for a while, but for other people, they might find it very surprising that Canada made the list.
Yes, that's out of all these countries, I can't believe we're in this.
Yeah, Canada is in the list for this global campaign. So there are people around the world over the next few days that will be signing letters, sending them to our government to tell them to get their act in shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And this isn't the first time that Canada has been on this list. But for this one in particular, it's about the Grassy Narrows situation. Because there, the water has been polluted with mercury for over 50 years now. And the government, the corporations involved, are still dragging their feet. It's destroyed their fish stock, their water. They can't rely on their livelihoods or how they would have normally gotten their fish. Walleye in particular was one of their main sources of fish that they would get.
Right.
And, you know, there's been health consequences suffered by them because sometimes you can't avoid the mercury that you'd be exposed to in these areas. And the fact that it's been going on for so long,
wow,
it's ridiculous. There's no excuse for it in a country like ours that this would happen. And yet, this isn't the only situation where this type of thing has happened, especially when it comes to indigenous communities.
It's, yeah, the clean water issue is, mm-hmm, is big.
And that's community. Other reasons why we've been on that list before,
right,
was for clean water on indigenous communities or just treating indigenous people with human rights.
Like you only have to go for a drive up the highway for, mm-hmm, not even an hour or two, and then there's people affected by this. These are small communities, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost overlooked.
Yeah. And like everyone in that community is affected. Like there is no one outside of that who gets away unscathed by what's happened. And
it's a small community, but it's, mm-hmm, that's too much. That's, mm-hmm, too many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can be fixed.
Right,
like,
yeah,
that's they can work on it. They can make this better. All it takes is a little bit of resources and, you know, getting the corporations accountable, getting the government accountable. This is solvable, and yet for some reason, the government keeps on dragging their feet.
I confirmed with me if this is fake news or not, because I've read into it, and I've also watched some video series on YouTube about some of the chiefs in these tribes. This probably is fake news, but some of them are shunning out people within their own tribe that are going to get the help from the government. Is that something that...
I don't know anything about that sort of situation.
Right.
Every tribe is unique.
Right, so...
But I'm the type of person that, unless I hear it from the tribe themselves, I'm not going to...
That's
put
what
much
I'm thinking too.
Weight on it.
That's kind of what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
Like if it's people from the tribe saying this is happening in our tribe, okay, then I will absolutely believe them no matter what they tell me.
Yeah.
But if it's people outside of the tribe's hearsay and they don't really know the community or they just saw
exactly
a random article, that's not something I would believe at all.
Yeah. And that's the information that I think is important to get out there is I want to know why, mm-hmm, the government doesn't go in there. And this could be easily solved.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a few million dollars, right?
Yeah.
Like, the government wastes money anyways on stuff. Well, this is something that isn't a waste.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that can't... Everyone wants solved, I think, too.
Yeah, because these are our communities.
Right.
These are our neighbors. You know, we share this land. And it's not right that we turn a blind eye while there's people suffering anywhere.
Right.
Really. Especially in our country, when we have the resources, we have the finances needed to make sure that this doesn't happen to anyone. And yet, for some reason, it's pulling teeth. It's the government saying, well, what about this? Or delaying. Or making excuses as to why they can't fix it right away.
Right.
But if this was your community, you'd want it fixed right away.
And I'm pretty sure there's some certain politicians that have promised to deal with this,
mm-hmm,
a long time ago, and it's never been...
Well, it's like...
I think Trudeau specifically stood up,
mm-hmm,
and said he would deal with all this.
Yeah.
And
well, that's why a lot of these communities, the indigenous communities in particular, get so fed up, is because they hear these promises all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would totally understand.
And it's ridiculous because it's the people outside the communities, again, that have to support them, that have to get more vocal, that have to say, we're not okay with this happening to anyone in this country, no matter where they are, what background they are. Because I know some people are like, oh, but what about this? What if you raise my taxes? Or what about money? Or what about I'm not getting what I'm supposed to get from the,
mm-hmm,
government, so
yep,
why are we spending all this money? And it's just like, first of all, we have the money. It's there.
Yeah.
Sometimes the money is even allocated to these communities, but it's just never given.
Right.
Already. Or let's cut back on military spending. Let's cut back on the subsidies we give to these companies that caused the problem in the first place.
Exactly.
We have the money. We have the resources. And again, like when it comes to, let's say, our health care, if your child needed a drug that, you know, cost a lot of money, you'd petition the government to cover it,
mm-hmm,
because they cover other drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So why not this one?
Exactly.
Like they should cover all communities equally the same. There's no excuse for it.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. So for someone, well, I'm, as I had mentioned, I'm on the email list. I've joined Amnesty International a couple times at a couple of YouTube concerts because they're a band that's vocal about. There's a lot of also stuff in media that Amnesty is connected with. I'm already on the list. What can people do out there that are new? Maybe they want to sign up.
Well, we're always looking for more volunteers with Group 9. That's the local Amnesty chapter. We have meetings once a month where we talk about the actions we'll be doing and the events we'll be participating at. So there's a Facebook page for it, and it's just Amnesty International Group 9 on Facebook, and you'll find the page. But also just there's an app you can download on your phone that just pops up with petitions for you to sign. And so you can just, with a few buttons, I don't know, do we say buttons on phone anymore?
Yeah, or with a couple taps of the fingers or whatever.
Little vibrations on the phone.
Yeah, or whatever, yeah.
you can add your name to these petitions. Coming out to this event, donating to Amnesty also helps because part of the responsibility is our chapter is we have to pay for all of this postage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if we get hundreds of letters to sign off, even though we do it in bulk, it's still, that's a lot of postage because these are going all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so to just even, if you don't have the time to sign the letters, if you just want to drop by, get a really good coffee because Seven Shores has amazing coffee and snacks.
Okay.
Their cookies are amazing.
So there's going to be some good munchies tomorrow.
Well, you support a local group by going there, a local business by going there. So it's a win-win, you know, save the world and, you know, support your community. So you can just drop by there, buy yourself a coffee, drop $20 off to Amnesty so that we can afford to actually send these letters out.
That's I didn't even know we had something in our own backyard that was connected to Amnesty.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's, I found out through a different group because I also volunteer with Reception House and they put out a notice that, oh, this Right for Rights thing is coming up. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see what that is. And then it's like, wait a sec, there's an Amnesty chapter here that I can get involved with.
Okay.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
And they've had to put up with me ever since.
Well, you guys must do good work because, things do get done. I'm sure there are tons of cases and other letters that you guys have solved. A lot of these things, I'm sure that's been talked about for years, other cases, and people do. I think, you know what? There are a lot of people on this planet that are good-hearted, and they do want to stand up against what's wrong.
Yeah, there's more good than bad, by far.
Right. And that's a good belief to have. And and even then, people who are unfamiliar with these things should, I think, they should read up on it, but I think they should, not that I'm saying people should just sign without knowing what you're signing, but this is definitely something that's important especially for people in the area.
Like, I know when it comes to global human rights and justices, it can seem, again, very overwhelming, and we're very caught up in our lives here, but it just takes a minute or two to do these little actions, to sign a petition, to go and sign these letters, you know, spend an hour tomorrow at a coffee place with wonderful people around you, sign a bunch of letters. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Well, it's amazing how long it takes you to sign your name and address.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. It's like you don't need to put your full address on it, but basically they need to be able to verify it's different people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it takes a long time to actually, because sometimes one case, you're sending two letters. One is to the government, one is to a minister. Like, one is to the leader of the country, one is to a minister or something of that sort. So sometimes you're sending two letters per case, too. So, you know, 20 handwritten, you know, signatures and addresses can take a while.
When was the last time you guys have done something like this?
Well, this is yearly.
Okay, so.
So this happens every year right around this time. It's around the time, I believe it was the Declaration of Human Rights was announced.
Okay.
Long, long time ago.
So.
And so it coincides with that.
Yeah.
And again, it is a global initiative. So we're going to have people all around the world sending our government letters about cleaning up grassy narrows.
They're going to get a lot.
Uh-huh.
I hope they do. Like, even more. Because, again, like, I can't believe Canada's in that list of all the countries we went through. The most you hear those stories, and we've heard maybe for some of these countries, we've heard it time and time. And you hear stuff about, even with our friends down south, you hear about that stuff in Michigan, and you can't believe that even in our own society that we're neglecting people.
Well, I usually look at what's happening down south as a mirror to what can happen here.
Yes, exactly.
And if we put up with our neighbors doing what they're doing, how long is it going to be before it really starts taking a hold here? It already is starting.
Yes, yes. That's what I've seen too. Exactly.
Like, it's already starting to take a hold in here. And if we don't make a stand now while we still have choice and the ability, it's going to get far darker.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are people crossing the border, fleeing into Canada from the States because they're terrified about what will happen to them if they stay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when, like, it's hard to believe that this is a reality these days because, you know, we're in a first world country. We have all these resources. We're protected. And yet, slowly, they keep on scratching away and scratching away. Your rights start going away. People stop caring because, well, it's happening somewhere else. There's nothing I can do about it. And before you know it, it's just an avalanche of all this horrible stuff. And you're stuck wondering, why didn't anyone do anything sooner?
Right, yeah. And I'm glad that we were able to have you up by on the show today because someone's learned about this. And not only that, within the next day, hoping to get this pumped out there so as many people can see it through our social media. Quick, we got our final minute here. Do your final plug or any more plugs you got? Or,
well, again,
other than tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Seven Shores, 11:30 to 4:30.
Google come, it.
Yep. It's on Regina Street in Uptown Waterloo. It's a wonderful local coffee cafe. Great cookies. They have vegetarian and vegan options.
So. Okay, good. There you go. Everyone's welcome now. So, yeah, you're going to save the world a little bit if you head on out there tomorrow.
Yep, save the world while having a coffee.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Final Facebook and website links here.
Yep, so you can go on Facebook to Amnesty International Group 9 to find out more about our local chapter. You can also go to amnesty.ca to find out about the Canadian branch of Amnesty International. And to find out more about these specific cases, you can go to writeathon.ca.
Okay. Those are very important links, and I'm actually going to be checking that out myself. Thank you very much, Sandy, for coming by.
Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. So that wraps it up for another edition of CKMS Community Connections. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. Make sure you tune in next Friday between 2 to 3 p.m. and as well as our Monday edition with Mr. Bob Jonkman, who has his show 11 to 12 on Mondays. That's CKMS Community Connections right here on 102.7 Radio Waterloo, Sound of the Community.